this morning, but unusual healing practices, funny methods or unusual practices of healing. Let's call this special anointing for healing. And we look at Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. I'm going to read the New Living Translation. The Bible says here that God gave the power to perform unusual miracles. Verse 12 says, when handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched the skin were placed on the sick people, they were healed of their diseases. Notice this as well. And evil spirits were expelled. Not just, he wasn't there, or the apostle wasn't there, the man wasn't there, the minister wasn't there to say, in the name of Jesus. It's the anointing on the cloth that expelled the spirits. Many times, if you're highly anointed, if God gives you a strong anointing, you don't have to call out a spirit. They leave. They don't even say, excuse me, I'm leaving. They leave. Amen. And you see that many times, in the Bible, when you read Jesus, the Bible talks about that God, he was there and evil spirits were expelled from people. And it says here that handkerchiefs or aprons contain that anointing. We've done that here. And we've expelled spirits, cancer. There was one person given up to die just days, weeks. And that cloth was taken to that person. And the cancer that was supposed to kill that individual was expelled from that person's body. And they were healed. So you could conceivably bring a handkerchief this morning. We could lay hands on it. You could do this by faith or with a manifestation of the anointing. And so you could do it two ways. And so when this handkerchief was placed on that person's body or the skin, these diseases, whatever they were, apparently in Acts 12, 19, 11, there was expelled from these people. So you see here that God, in the New Testament, did these things. This is the church. And sometimes we think that God ought to do things the way we want them, the way we see fit, or the way our people did it, or the way our church did it, or the way our pastor did it, or the way we think it ought to be, because it doesn't fit within our framework or of our theology. Well, God can do things in a way that really is against your kind of thinking. And he'll do things the way he sees fit. He'll mesmerize you. He'll surprise you. And there are times that God heals in a different way that people just find it almost unbelievable. They say, why did this happen? Well, it doesn't matter. Thank God that it did happen. Jesus had unusual methods of healing that would be very controversial today. And I'm going to show you that from the scriptures. Now, I put this idea before you this morning, people, that God doesn't do things just the way you think. God doesn't do things the way you think he ought to do them. Don't tell God, this is the way I want to do them. Amen? We need to believe according to Scripture. Let's go look over here in the New Testament, and let's see this happening right at the outstart of the church in Acts chapter 5, verse 12 to 16, the New Living Translation I'm reading again. The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders. I wonder why they were performing many miraculous signs and wonders. I wonder what they were. Were they performing a circus act? I kind of like, you know, in my mind, you know, my kid's mind, see my, you know, I'm a 65, 68 year old kid, my mind still there. I'm seeing different things in my mind play out. But it says here that the apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. Now, it wasn't actually the apostles, it was God working through them. Last week, Pastor Murray, talked about in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, that God was working through them. Amen? God working through them, confirming the word. Everybody say confirming the word. So in other words, when you see something happening, ask yourself, is that in the scripture? Is that Bible? Well, sometimes our religious thinking is not always in line with God's word, so we think, you know, it's not Bible. So when we find out it's Bible, then it's good. So it says there, and all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. No one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, sick were brought out into the streets, on beds and mats and on Peter's shadow. Everybody say Peter's shadow. Peter's shadow might fall across some of them that, as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem bringing sick, and those were possessed with evil spirits, and they were all healed. Those people who were healed with physical problems, maladies, and those who were healed who had spiritual problems were healed. Thank God for healing. And it says here, let me just see here, that these things that they were doing, they were sick people. People brought the sick from their homes. And they were performing these healing things that was going on. And so it says Peter's shadow. That's not something that happened all the time with Peter. You know, it didn't happen every day, so we shouldn't always think that, you know, God has to, you know, Peter's shadow healed, so I'm going to try that. I'm going to try the healing shadow ministry. I'm going to call it the healing shadow ministry. Amen. And just walk around the mall and see how many people get healed. None, somebody said, none. Well, you're 100% right. But, and so healing from Peter's shadow is not something normal, but God did it, the Bible says. That was just, why would God do that? If you look the Bible says that they performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Let's go to Acts chapter 4, and let's go read from verse 23 for a second. If you turn to Acts 4 and 23, I want to go here with you, and I want to show you something. I believe they help you, because although we don't specifically say, you know, I want my shadow to heal the people, but, you know, we could believe God for doing whatever he wants to do, be open to whatever God wants. So in the 23rd verse, we see these people, is it the fifth chapter? Yeah, the fourth chapter. These people were in trouble. And they were put in prison because they healed a man there in the third chapter. He'd been that way for many years, and he was healed. And so they were put in prison because he was preaching the name of Jesus. And some people don't like it if you mess up their theology. And so they came by, the apostles did, and healed a man. Right there, he was sitting there in front of the temple. begging. And I wish I could do that. Just drive up to the Timmy's, and there's always someone there begging money. And heal that person. How many of you seen beggars on the street? There seem to be more now, lately. And maybe that's a career. I don't know. Might be something. You might want to think about that. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they had heard the report, all the believers lifted up their voices together in prayer to God. In other words, in verse 24, they began to praise God. They began to give God worship. This is called corporate prayer. And if you see in this particular chapter here, in this particular incident, you see a pattern of how to pray corporately together. You see the methods, there are principles in there to actually pray together, just like you would if you prayed with someone else in the prayer of, you know, when you believe with someone else. So they said, they lifted up their voices in prayer to God. He said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them." In other words, the first thing they did was they began to acknowledge God. When you go to prayer, you got to acknowledge God, that God is God. He is the creator of everything. And when you go to prayer, you come before God and you need to come to Him and say, "God, I want to worship you." Recognize that He is God Almighty. And He's given us the privilege to enter His presence. Because the New Testament is a new way, and so we come in that presence. So He said in there, "O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through your ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord, against the Messiah. In fact, this has happened in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, and Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you've anointed. But everything as they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants with great boldness in the preaching of your word." Verse 30. "Stretch forth your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Verse 30 is praying that God would manifest Himself in the gifts of the Spirit, the power gifts, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gifts to do working of miracles. So we as a church need to believe this when we come to church, that God will do these kinds of things in this day. That we have a pattern to believe God, to pray and ask God to move in a special way if He wants to, and to heal people even before we ever laid hands on them. I believe when I come here that people get healed and they get deliverance just by coming into this place. Hallelujah. And I've, over the years, in my short time, I've seen people get healed and have told me themselves. I'm sitting there and all of a sudden all my symptoms have gone. I was in one place here, and I was just visiting people during the time when we have a time to shake hands with people. And I went over and touched someone's shoulder, and the person says, "Who's that man?" "Well, he's talking about me." He said, "Well, that's the pastor." He said, "Why?" "Well, when he laid hands on me, I felt a shock go throughout my entire body. Something happened to me." "Well, I didn't say in the name of Jesus. The power of evidently from my, you know, being, my spirit went into his body and did something in him." And I've had that happen to visiting people. Knock on someone's door, open up the door, they start crying. I said, what, when in the world is happening? Well, when you showed up, something else came in. Well, it's the anointing. Well, what happened that time? Well, I was in prayer early in the morning, many, many hours in praying. The anointing comes with you. And so we have an invisible person here called the Holy Spirit, and he's here. And he's not gone away. He's not going away. Amen. He's here, and he's always here. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He hasn't changed his mind yet. So they prayed for miraculous signs and wonders. And then you see in chapter 5, verse 12, that God granted that prayer. And they performed many miraculous signs and wonders. I wonder if you could do it today. I wonder why it's not happening today. It's because people are not hearing this and people don't believe it. The Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? Unless the preacher preaches it, no one can hear it. And how can they believe without hearing the word? You can't believe something beyond your level of knowledge. Your faith will go as far as you can understand, as far as you believe. So God will do much more than Roma Fisher. If you just see me as Roma, if you don't see me as a man of God, that's all you'll get is Roma Fisher. And he don't have anything. But if you see me, a man anointed by the Spirit of God, called for this day and this hour, then that's what you're going to get. You know, some people will look at me, oh, he's Roma Fisher. Yeah, he lives around here. He lives out there by the bush. I do live by the bush, by the way. And he's First Nation. And you stop right there. Well, there's more than First Nation here. And there's more than the man by the bush. There is a man anointed by the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. That can do something for you. So that's what we got to believe. And I believe that when the people come here, the people sing, I believe they're anointed by the Spirit of God. I believe that. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, anoint every one of those singers. Anoint all the ushers. I pray that. I pray that ushers are anointed. I pray when they come, open those doors, I pray they're walking in the supernatural power of God. Amen. And before they get to you, they're right juicy just to receive. Amen. So they were getting this as a result of prayer. So there will be no unusual miracles unless we start believing for them. Amen. Brother Higgin taught us, and he made us pray this prayer. And he says that we pray that, you know, just like the way it is here. Over actually in if you would turn, you see here, there's a pattern of corporate prayer that not just one person should believe for these unusual miracles. Like I could just believe for some, it would be limited. But if we all corporately believe it, there'd be much more to happen. And I need to encourage you to do it, to believe that somebody walked in here. How many people would like to see somebody here walk in there, they're blind, all of a sudden they can see? Someone walked in with one leg, he leaves with two legs. Amen? I mean, you're saying, well, how could it happen? Well, I don't know how it could happen. God can do it. I'm not going to put a doubt in there and say it can't happen. So we don't want to put a limit on God. I'm getting too excited. I'm way ahead of myself. I'm actually running home right now. I see myself running down the road. Did you remember the prophet who had the anointing so strong on him, he ran and beat the chariots? I mean, how would you like to buzz around town like that? They say there's coyotes around here, right? So, well, anyway. Well, God can do this if he wants to. And he doesn't have to have your permission, but he needs us to have permission to move in our own lives here together. Like, I mean, you can't stop it, on your own. You say, well, I don't want this, then you might want to leave because you might not get anything out of it. Everybody say healed.
Healed.
In dirty water.
Dirty water.
Well, God can heal in any fashion. He can heal in dirty water, hot water, cold water. We see here in this chapter, if you go over to the 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 14, we just saw something here happening in Acts chapter 4, the beginning of the church where God was healing unusual miracles. Now he just talked about one thing where Peter's shadow was healing the sick. There could have been many more other things because it does say many things. And Jesus said that we could do these kind of things, you know. In 2 Kings chapter 5, now I'm talking about scripture. Everybody say, is this scripture? So here it says, the king of Aram had great admiration for Naam, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. And through Naaman was a mighty, but though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean soldiers invaded the land of Israel, and among the captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to his mistress, I wish my master would go and see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. Go and visit the prophet, the king of Aram told him. I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel. So Naaman started out carrying the gifts as gifts, 700 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and then 10 sets of clothing. That sounds like a pretty good gift. The letter to the king of Israel said, with this letter I present my servant Naam. I want you to heal him of his leprosy. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, am I God that I can give life and take away? Why is this man asking me to heal someone with leprosy? I can see that he's trying to pick a fight with me. When Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent his message to him. Why are you so upset? Send Naam to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel. So Naam went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger out to him with his message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in Jordan River, and then your skin will be restored, and you will be healed of your leprosy. But Naam became very angry. Everybody said he became very angry. And he walked away. He thought he would certainly, come out to meet me. And he said, I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Now he is trying to tell someone here, tell the man of God, tell the ministry, tell Faith City Church, tell Roma how to do the healing for him. Now, this prophet already had some instructions from God. Amen. Very often I go different places and I want to do something and some people want, no, we want it this way. I said, no, wait a minute. You don't need anybody. You don't need me to heal. Lay my hand. Right. I'm going to speak a word. No. We want you to pray first. Don't even read the scriptures. We want you to pray. I said, you're not getting anything without scriptures. Right. And so, but they have great faith in my prayer. But prayer is going to work without scripture. He says, aren't the rivers of Damascus and Abana and Parfar better than any of the rivers in Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned and went in rage. So hey, people, listen, there's a good message there. If you're just going to get mad about everything in ministry, about the way things are done, you might not get something. You might just miss God. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So shouldn't you obey him when he says, simply go wash and be cured? So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times. The man of God had, as the man instructed him, and his skin became as healthy as skin as a young child, and he was healed. Isn't that wonderful? Hooray, hooray, hooray. But it happened. So he was following a method that was not contained in the office of some physician. So he was healing somebody here in an unusual way. Turn to your neighbor and say, unusual way. So God can heal you right where you're sitting right now. I've had different things, you know. I mean, I learned different things. You know, you learn what you learn. You know what you know now because you were sitting in some kind of church all your life. And all of us, we learn things because someone taught us. And we can only go to the ceiling level of what they know. And I can teach you only what I know. But I'm learning more and more. I'm learning not to put a ceiling on what God wants to do. God could do things any way he wants to do. Hallelujah. I mean, I was seeing in the New Testament how God took a man, brought him somewhere, he sent him somewhere to the desert, and he went and healed someone there, and as soon as the man was healed, he disappeared and ended up somewhere else. I was listening to Brother Hagin years ago, and he said he was over somewhere, and his son, and I believe his son-in-law was dying, and he said in his spirit, he traveled from one place to another, and he was right there, or something like that. And he said, sometimes I'm in church, and suddenly I'm out over somewhere in China, and I'm seeing something. But I mean, this is how God, you know, this is vision and stuff. It's amazing how God will do things to get things done, and you know, we don't have to get that special thing. If God sees fit to do it, he'll do it. But he has in mind, if he hasn't done it, then he has in mind, just follow the word. Just follow the scripture and expect the scriptures to work. And don't say, well, from now on, I'm believing for a special anointing and that's it. Well, you might die in the meantime. Just go ahead, let the man lay hands on you. Put some oil on you. So don't demand things. I'm going to believe that I'm going to run, you know, into the Boulevard Lake. Well, go ahead. But as long as the Lord says, amen. So here, you know, we saw Peter's shadow healing the sick in the book of Acts in the beginning of the church. And then we see way back there in the Old Testament, we see a man getting healed, jumping into a dirty water. And the man who really opposed it, who wanted healing, he opposed the idea of that kind of method. But you know, sometimes people have to talk to us because it seemed to me that people talked to him. His leadership or his people around him began to talk, reason with them and say, hey, listen, go ahead and obey the man of God. And what if he didn't? I believe he wouldn't have gotten healed because he didn't hear. You know, listen, this is how it is. The prophet was speaking. He was a mouthpiece for God and he was speaking on behalf of of God. So his word was God's word. So when we read the Bible, it's God speaking to us. Now, are you okay to go on? I know where everybody's going, but some people got to go to work. So anyway, let's go here to John chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. Everybody says, spit on the ground. Well, Jesus seemed to be doing something here. He spat on the ground. He made spittle. A little spittle. You could write a song. A little spittle can heal a man's eyes. Jesus walking along and saw a man who had been born blind or blind from birth. It's amazing. This guy, this is somebody who was born this way. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was a man born blind? You see, they had a traditional teaching, theological belief about why certain people had certain deficiencies or certain things happening to them. Like sometimes we come to church with all our religious beliefs that we think that are you know, scriptural, that are true, when they're actually, in fact, traditions. So these disciples, they were believers. Like some people come to church and they have a certain kind of mentality, thinking that, you know, this is how it should be. We're talking about Jesus and his disciples here. They're asking Jesus about, why is this guy born blind? Well, first of all, number one, it's none of your business. You know, because let's get the job done, amen? Let's not ask why this man is born blind. Let's get the man, let's follow what Jesus is going to do here. He says, Jesus, before he healed the man, why was this guy, just move away, get away from me. So, why was the man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? Now, if you read in the book of Jeremiah, I just read the book of Jeremiah, he said in there that the, you know, children, and you see that in Deuteronomy, that the children will suffer the sins of their parents. And the prophet said, one day, every man will suffer for his own consequences. And under the New Testament, we don't have to suffer for our parents' sins. Because Jesus conquered the devil for us. And the devil has no right to put, you know, how do you call that, your parents, what is it called? What do you call it again? Generational curses. Generational curses are think of the past if you're a Christian. You don't have to have diabetes because it's all in your family. And you don't have to have certain things because it's... So I recognize this for myself. Now, everybody has to do it. My kids have to do it for themselves, and you have to do it for yourself and your kids. Just because you did it, it doesn't automatically fall on your kids automatically. Everyone individually has to do it for themselves. I said, from now on, I break poverty over my life. Poverty will not control my life. And you know what? Poverty hasn't controlled my life. A lack of money never controlled my life. I've done things without money. I'm doing what I'm doing right now without money. When I started the ministry, I didn't have a cent. In fact, I owe people money. My wife and I both owed money. We went to university for years, and I was supposed to do my doctorate, and I still had money owed, and I still owed the government so much money, so many thousands of dollars. And when Jesus appeared to me in the car and told me to be in ministry, I just... Even though that was a supernatural experience for me, I still doubted that I should actually go in ministry. And so I came in ministry with debt. How many people know that God will take care of you? And even though you're scared and you step out, even though you're scared, he still take care of you. So you could have doubt in your head, but faith in your heart, and faith in your heart will still work with doubt in your head. Amen. You'll never stop having doubt come into your head. Thank God. I wish I knew this long ago. Man, oh man. So, was it because of the sins of his parents? Jesus answered, this happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the task assigned by the one who sent us. The night is coming when no one could work. But while I'm here in the world, I'm the light of the world. Then he spat on the ground, made mud of the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. The Bible says, and he came back seeing. The man born blind. Jesus made a puddle, a little of his spit, put it on the man's eyes, and said, go walk in the wash in the pool, and then you come back seeing. And he came back seeing. That's unusual. Spit ministries. I mean, if you were blind and someone spit on you and I spit on you, you wouldn't care if you're going to get healed. I mean, you wouldn't care if I spat on you if you were healed. Your eyes open for the first time. You see, wow, a lot of ugly people here. So, you know, just think about it. The man is born blind. I wonder if Jesus said, you know, I'm going to really trick those people today. I'm going to really do something different here. I'm just going to spit here. He tells us, Peter, watch this. I'm going to use spit this time. No, but, you know, the Holy Spirit was moving, and God was talking to Jesus by the Spirit and telling him what to do. So you could do it all you want right now and say, go over to the blind place over here and say, I'm going to spit on everybody here. And no, you won't, sir. You won't do it unless God told you. So we see another situation. That's unusual, isn't it? What does unusual mean? It means not in the natural way. Like we say, you know, I remember Brother Hagin used to say, you know, sometimes God will do these things, not because, you know, I wanted to go to a scripture here earlier. Let's go to it right now because I remember it. It's not in my Bible notes here. Now, if you go to, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting from verse 1, and we'll read a few verses here. I think it's to verse 5. Let's go there together. We'll see it on here. I don't have it on my notes right away, but I can get them on my phone. Are you enjoying this a little bit? Or is this a little bit at least, you know, helping you? You know? So it'll help you some more. We got some more coming. Unusual miracles. So we're going to do a slapping ministry as well. Amen. So here. So here, and it says here, let's be very dramatic and put it in the King James. I like the King James in some places because it really just like, wow, this is great. The Queen's language. It says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Stop there for a second. Now he's saying that I didn't talk to you. But when I came with little something extra. So God can bring a man or woman of God, put him in office, and he'll not just say things that will mesmerize you and touch your heart, but he'll also show you things that you can see. I remember Brother Hagin said one time, tell the woman in the front, point at her, and tell her, rise up in the name of Jesus. She's been that way in the wheelchair for I don't know how long. So he pointed at her, when I point at you, rise up in the name of Jesus. The lady sitting in the wheelchair, she was one of the official church member leadership wife, and she raised up off the seat without even trying anything. She was levitating, getting up out of the chair without no assistance, and she came off like that, and she got scared, and she fell back down. He said, the Spirit of God is on you. Just get up, and she wouldn't do it. So she was afraid more of whatever, and she just didn't function. See, we have to cooperate with the anointing. Amen. And he said many times that was a sign. And then he said, tell these people, just point at them right now, tell them you're healed. And they were healed. These people were healed. And he says, point at this one and tell them that you're healed. He says, this is a sign to you, that is Brother Hagin. And that is a sign to everybody here that I've called you and that I've anointed you. Signs and wonders are there to convince the people to believe for more. That's why God brings signs and wonders. If you're wondering about that. And so he'll do that, and he's done it for me. He didn't do it all the time, but he's done it a number of times, several times for me. When I first started ministry, I started to see these things happening in my life. He would tell me one time, tell these people right here. I was doing a crusade. We call it a crusade, a healing service. And I said to these people, you go ahead and stand up right now And be filled with the Spirit. These people, I don't know if they're denominational, never spoke in tongues before. They lift up their hands, start speaking in tongues effortlessly in the name of Jesus without any problem. And that's a sign. And afterwards, I said to myself, how did I do that? Well, it really wasn't me. It was the Spirit of God doing it through me. And I heard what God, I was doing what God told me to do. Now, so this is what he's talking about. He said that it was a demonstration of the Spirit and the power. A demonstration of the Spirit is when the spiritual gifts are in operation. Like the vocal gifts of the Spirit. Vocal gifts. You know, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. If I speak a word of wisdom and I know things supernaturally about you or what's going on in your life and I speak that to you, you would know, say, how would it happen to me? How did he know about that? I've had that happen to me several times in my life where a man of God would say to me things that what I've done and what I'm going to do, and I ask to people, say, how does he know all that? Well, how, did you tell that person? Well, the man of God knew because God told him that I needed to be convinced that God is working. And so sometimes you need to be convinced that God is working because you need that extra something to help you get through the tough time. And so he says, a demonstration of power. Demonstration of power are the power gifts. Miracles. Healings. Supernatural healings. Working of miracles. So that's amazing. And so verse 5 says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So God will move out here in some special way so that your faith will move from people into God. That's why he moves in this way. And you see that happening over, I believe it's in chapter 5, where God came and healed a man there who had been sick. I think it was 34 years, was it? He'd been in bed. He'd been an invalid, sitting by the Coleman's, Solomon's porch. So he's been there for all that time, since birth. Jesus comes by and tells the man who'd been that way all his life, do you want to be made well? Well, the thing is, of course, that, you know, you would say, of course I want to be made well. That's why I'm here. Why did Jesus ask not very intelligent question? Why would he be there in the first place if he didn't want to be healed? Well, it's because of this. God still needs your permission and your cooperation, even though he's going to do something special. He still, when the gifts are spirit in operation, he still needs you to cooperate and do something. At least say yes, you know. The man said, yes, I want to be made well. And so he was made well. He said, I didn't have anybody to help me. So you see here that God will do something out of the ordinary to get your attention. That's why he does these things. For you to get your eyes off on man, onto God and his word, and to start believing for more. And so God sent Paul with these supernatural ability under the unction of God to do these things so that he can start convincing the people that God is at work. You get that? And that's why the Bible talks the same thing about Jesus. And so, now listen, if Paul had to have it, if Jesus needed it, how much more we? How much more do we need this? Like, this is not just an intellectual gospel. Like, let me just, we're smarter now, we can figure things out. No, we still need this supernatural ability from God. Now, let's go over here. Did I go to Mark chapter 7, verse 31 to 37? Jesus spit here as well. He spit on his fingers. Jesus left Tyre and went to Sidon, and before going back to the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the 10 towns, a deaf man with a speech impediment, a guy who stuttered, he couldn't talk, that he was so stuttering so much, was brought to him, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on him to heal him. Now they wanted Jesus just to lay hands on him. But Jesus had other things in mind. Sometimes people say, come over here, do this, this is what I want you to do. But when you say what you would like, what God was instructing you to do, you say, no, we want you to do this. So listen, let God do it. Jesus led him away from the crowd so that he could be alone. Another thing about this, sometimes you got to get away from those people who's been around you, keeping you that way. He put his fingers into the man's ears. Then spitting on his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue. Oh, my Lord. Doesn't the public health know about this thing? I mean, let's call a lawyer here. Amen. Let's get a legal battle going. We're going to get some money here. So, looking up to heaven, he sighed. Because he said, these guys. No. He sighed. He said, Ephphatha, which means be open. Instantly the man could hear perfectly and his tongue was freed so that he could speak plainly. And Jesus told the crowd not to tell anyone, but more and more he told them not to do it. The more they spread the news and they were completely amazed and said again and again, everything he does is wonderful. He makes the deaf to hear and give speech to those who cannot speak. This is amazing. Amazing things going on. This is scripture. This is New Testament. This is gospel. Let's go to another situation over here. Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 26. Jesus spit on the man's eyes this time. He's getting closer here. First he spit on his hands, put his hands in the man's ears, then he put his finger in his tongue. Now you wouldn't want anybody to put their finger in your tongue, or your finger on your tongue. You know, this to prove to you, I'm going downtown that I'm not going to be sick. I'm going to lick every door. They said he shall not eat any deadly thing. Look, watch this. We'll see how your tongue looks tomorrow. Speaking in tongues. Anyway. When they arrived at Bethany, some people brought a blind man to Jesus and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the village. Not only do you need to get away from people, but sometimes you need to get out of town. Some of you need to get out of town. They get healed, right? He said, well, I thought you left you had a cane last time. Well, you know, I had to get out of town to get healed. So anyway, took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the village, then spitting on the man's eyes. He laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything? Well, first of all, I got spit in my eyes, Jesus. Do you have a napkin? Hey, Peter, bring the napkin. I told you to bring the napkins. Why did you forget the napkins? Well, the napkin ministry is missing. Anyway, the man looked around. Yes, he said, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. He sent him to the ophthalmologist next door. He said, they look like trees walking around. Evidently, this man had eyesight before. So, you know, he could talk about this. So those who had lost vision can retain vision, evidently, and those who never had vision can have their vision in these cases. Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him away, saying, don't go back into that village on your way home. Because you know what? Here's something about this thing. You know, you read these things, you don't read into it. You don't study it. Because evidently these guys here were so unbelief. They'll talk him out of his healing. Listen, I was in a place. I told you this before. Some of you know this. I went to do a healing miracle services, and the Lord brought me this way. And I went to an auditorium. It was packed with people, and because the healer is coming. That's me. So I went there, and we advertised healing and miracles, and God did wonderful things. And I was astounded what actually was going on during that time. And there was a lady there who had been sick for many, many years. She would have epilepsy at least, major, at least 2 to 3 times a week, major epilepsy. I call out the healing, and she came up, and in fact, she couldn't even walk. She was like spaghetti. So she fell between the seats, so we brought her up, and we ministered to her. And let me say this. Now, this is a 20-year, 25-year period. She had these epileptic seizures regularly, every day, weeks at a time. Every week, she had major ones every week. And as soon as I left that place, she never had one more episode. That is a sign and a wonder. Now, listen to this. So they said, that when I went there, he said, this Roma Fisher is using some kind of Indian medicine. Some old Indian medicine. And that's why this lady got this healing. And they talked her out of it. And within a short period of time, and a number of months later, she's back, same thing. I know another person who had been healed. She was dying and couldn't breathe, and her lungs were just shot completely. She's breathing by, they say when you're having that, you can't breathe. You got these things that you have to carry on. You're on a wheelchair, 100%. So this one person was healed at a Benny Hinn crusade and was instantly healed. The Lord spoke to me the week later and said to me, I want you to phone this lady, tell her that she needs to get to a church and find a church where they believe this and stay there or else you'll lose your healing. So I called that person. I said, this is what the Lord instructed me. It's up to